Nehemiah chapter 7, starting from verse 1.
Now it came to pass when the wall was built, and I had set up the doors, and the porters, and the singers, and the Levites were appointed, that I gave my brother Hanani and Hananiah, the ruler of the palace, charge over Jerusalem, for he was a faithful man and feared God above many.
Okay, now, if you remember last week, the enemy wanted to come and destroy, and he tried and tried and tried to Nehemiah to come and meet him, but Nehemiah said, I'm busy. I'm doing a great job, and I'm not coming. And then he tried to get a priest in his side, I'm talking about enemy, and tried to confuse the Nehemiah. But he said, I'm not going to go to temple, I'm not going to hide myself, and I'm not going to listen to you. He said, I want to finish this job. And seventh chapter, he says, they already finished. They finished all the doors, all the gates, all the walls, and everything they finished. And I think that Nehemiah, I don't know from this chapter, he wants to go somewhere or go back to the king. So he tells his brother, now you take care of the job what I'm doing. And there is another name given. One is Hananiah, and there is another brother. He says, this brother also very good, and he's well-spoken, and he's a good man. He's a trustworthy man. So these two people will be taking care of this business, and he might be wanted to go. And then he said, the job is already done, giving the authority to some other people and moving on. Verse 3.
And I said unto them, let not the gates of Jerusalem be opened until the sun be hot. And while they stand by, let them shut the doors and bar them, and appoint watches of the inhabitants of Jerusalem, every one at his watch, and every one to be over against his house.
Now he is concerned that enemy might be trying to do some harm. So he said, do not open the gates until the sun is very hot. Instead of saying at noontime or 12 o'clock or so, but he says, wait until the sun is up, and then you open the gates. Not only that, he says, all the believers, all the Israeli people, they should be watching their doors. And so he's saying the enemies are there. They want to destroy us. So use the common sense. Don't open the door too early, and keep the watch and keep the guard, not only the gates, but to your doors also. And so he is warning them, the enemies are there, so be careful. Verse 4.
Now the city was large and great, but the people were few therein, and the houses were not builded.
Now he says they build a wall all around the city, and when they start thinking the people are very less, the houses are built very less. Up to now they were building the temple, building the walls. They were some poor people. If you remember, we studied earlier, they didn't have the houses. Their houses were taken, their vineyard were taken, their land was taken, and their children were in the slavery. And so they were poor. So now when he saw everything is done, but the people do not have houses. So how are you going to find out who needs the house? So he was looking for some kind of number or registry or genealogy of people's names so they can build the house and let them live in there. So now he's looking for counting the people. So he found some way. Let's read the verse 5.
And my God put into mine heart to gather together the nobles and the rulers and the people, that they might be reckoned by genealogy. And I found a register of the genealogy of them which came up at the first, and found written therein.
You remember, last week we learned these highly educated people, honorable people, and they got mixed with the enemy, and they wanted to destroy Nehemiah, because Nehemiah always coming to these people who had the money, noble people and the rich people, and telling them what to do. Now again he's saying, if you have to build the houses, we need these people. And so he gathered those people. He said, God put these things in my heart. get these noble people, all the rich people, and tell them, hey, listen, our poor people are suffering and we have to do something. And so he said, I was looking for the genealogy. I was looking for the registry. I was looking for something. And he says, I found it. So where did he find it? Because we know, if you read the book of Ezra chapter 2, verses 1 to 70, and if you read the Ezra chapter 8, verse 1 to 20, all these people's names are given. We already studied them. And so here he's saying, all these people are there and we want to build the houses for them. Let's read the verse 6.
These are the children of the province that went up out of the captivity of those that had been carried away, whom Nebuchadnezzar the king of Babylon had carried away, and came again to Jerusalem and to Judah, every one unto his city.
Now he said, these are the people. Means he's giving to give the genealogy. He's going to give the number of people. And so if you are patient enough, we'll read it. Otherwise, we are going to skip it, and you can read it yourself, because it says, this chapter has so many verses. So here he says, I'm going to give the genealogy. And he started with verse 7. He says, Zerubbabel and Jeshua and Nehemiah and all other people's name he's giving. And this genealogy starts from here to last verse 65. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to skip this genealogy. And let's go and read the verse 62-65.
All the Nethinims, the children of Solomon's servants, were 392. And these were they which went up also from Telmelah, Tel, Haresha, Cherub, Adon, and Immer. But they could not show their father's house, nor their seed, whether they were of Israel. The children of Deliah, the children of Tobiah, the children of Nekoda, 642. And of the priests, the children of Habaiah, the children of Koz, the children of Barzillai, which took one of the daughters of Barzillai, the Gileadite, to wife, and was called after their name. These sought their register among those that were reckoned by genealogy, but it was not found. Therefore were they as polluted, put from the priesthood. And the Tirshatha said unto them that they should not eat of the most holy things till there stood up a priest with Urim and Thummim. The whole congregation together was 42,360.
Okay, now this genealogy and this what the governor is saying, we already read it in book of Ezra, is the governor Zerubbabel. This was the governor Zerubbabel when they came first time. That's the time Zerubbabel, all this genealogy is in Ezra. That's why we didn't read it. And he said these people are mixed marriage. And they are Israeli people, Jewish people, some of them are priestly family, and they are polluted. And so this is the governor, Zerubbabel said, they cannot eat. And they have to have the priest go to the temple and take the Urim and Thummim, and then God will give them the answer. And if you read in the Ezra chapter 7 or so, somehow God allowed them to eat the food prepared by priest. Priest only can eat that kind of food served to God, but they were prohibited. But he said now when the temple was built and people were happy and joyful, God did not want these people to suffer. So he said, okay, they can eat. And so this is all repeated in this chapter. And so now we go into the chapter 8. Let's start the chapter 8 from verse 1.
And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate, and they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month.
Now, first day of the seventh month is Jewish calendar is Nisan month. That month in our month, like March and April. And so this is the time the children of Israel, they saw the temple is built, the walls are built, and there is a unity. And so somehow they got a hunger and thirst for the word of God. So the people are asking Ezra, please come and read Book of Law. And they found the Book of Law, and now Ezra is reading. But the point I'm making, these people are hungry and thirsty for the Word of God. And what they're going to do in this chapter, they did not do for a long, long time. You will be reading, he said, the time of Joshua, what they did, they are repeating now. So most of the time is gap, and people did not do what this chapter saying it. So they came together like a one man and a unity and love and togetherness to hear the word of God. If there is no unity, there is no love for God, you will not have hunger to study the word of God. People who are not born again, you tell them, read the Bible. The Bible is like a black and white pages to them. Even the lawyers and other people, other day I was watching the television, and there was one man was preaching, and another man was reading the Bible, and he is talking about the Bible. And it was interesting, so I listened few words. And after that, he started giving misleading Bible scriptures. So I told my wife, turn it off, because this man is not a Christian. Finally, said, let's go to his website and find out who he is. He is completely against Christianity. And he is trying to destroy the churches and trying to destroy the work of God. So I was just saying, listening only few verses, I could sense this is not by the Spirit of God. When you cook the rice, what do? You take one rice and just press it, and you know it's cooked. You don't have to get the whole thing and start finding out. That's why you need the Spirit of God. Once you are a born-again children of God, you are hungry and thirsty for the Word of God. Once you are born again, then you are hunger to read the Word of God. As I told you earlier, when I was born again, I used to read Bible 150 or more chapter a day. And still I was hungry and still reading and praying and going to bed with the Word of God. And people come and say, oh, Brother Peter, could you tell me this chapter or this verse and this thing? I will tell them without opening my eyes. And next day they will say, oh, you gave us this and you told us this. I said, I didn't say anything. Even though my unconscious mind, I was talking to people and giving them advice. The point I'm making, when your spirit is reborn, you are a child of God, you have a hunger for God, you have a hunger for Word of God. So these people are really hungry and thirsty for the Word of God. They forgot the fighting and they forgot the war and they forgot everything. They start thinking, now this is the good time to just think about God. So they're saying, Ezra is the one. He is the scribe. He knows the Bible. He knows the Word of God. Let's call him. And Ezra comes. And Nehemiah is the governor. They spent some money, built the stage and everything. And the people were standing on the street. And the gates was like a water gate. And the water gate, and there was another gate. There are two gates. In front of these two gates, people were standing. And there may be hundreds and thousands of people. So if he is standing on the ground, those people won't be able to see. So that's why he was a little bit in a higher ground, made the stage for him, and he was preaching. And let's read a little bit further. Verse 3.
And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday, before the men and the women and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law.
Can you imagine, he said, when he went there on the stage and he started preaching, and he says there were not only men, they were ladies and they were children, and everybody are listening. Nobody is thinking why this man is preaching. And he says this man start in the morning until the afternoon, midday. So many people were listening, even the children, and they were paying attention, listening to the man of God. And this man of God, might be, he doesn't say how he was doing, but he says he was preaching and trying to explain, just like we are doing verse by verse. People can read the Bible in their house, but sometimes people do not understand. So here, Nehemiah, as well as Ezra, and not only Ezra and Nehemiah, there are other priests you will be seeing. There are other priests sitting on the pulpit. Left-hand side, some six or seven people, and right-hand side, six or seven people, and they're all sitting beside the Ezra, and Ezra standing, and those people might be having Bibles in their hand, and they are studying very carefully. Let's keep on reading a little bit further. Verse 4.
And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood which they had made for the purpose, and beside him stood Mattathiah, and Shema, and Ananiah, and Urijah, and Hilkiah, and Maaseiah on his right hand, and on his left hand Pedaiah, and Mishael, and Malchiah, and Hashem, and Hashbadana, Zechariah, and Meshulam. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up.
Now see, I was thinking how these church people came to know how to set up the church. Now you go to the big churches, the pastor will be there, and all the elders will be this side, and all the elders will be this side, and the pastor will be preaching. But it's a good idea, because these people had the desire to read and study. But you go to some churches, sorry to say that, all these people might be sleeping. And other people are looking at them, and these people are like taking the, you know, form of their praying or something. And they close their eyes and sit. And then you will know that, like this they do, then you know they are sleeping. I went to one church. The man says, come to my church and I want to see about India. And I took all these slides, projector and everything, and I went there and I preached and I explained and everything, and the man who invited me, he was sleeping. I could see, but I didn't want to disturb him, so I didn't say anything. When this finished, he said, oh, Pastor Peter, that was excellent. And I enjoyed it. I would have said, sir, you are a liar. You are sleeping all the time, and all of a sudden you said I enjoyed it. But this is what happening. So I do not want anybody sitting here and a person sitting there and looking, somebody sleeping. He said, Pastor Peter, preaching is boring, that somebody is sitting and sleeping. So this came from the old system. And people are doing that. And now when he started reading, people stood while they're reading the Bible. And that's why we see in some other churches, but that's a good thing, that giving the respect. But here Ezra didn't say, hey people, could you stand? Well, I'm reading the Bible. They stood themselves, just like giving standing ovation. This man is doing something. Let's stand. And they stood there and start listening. That means they were not sleeping. People were very alert. They want to listen to the word of God. Their heart was really, really tuned to God. And the Ezra was preaching. Do you know when the preacher is preaching and people start sleeping? The preacher gets discouraged and they don't know what to do. This man, Ezra, is dedicated man of God. He didn't know how long it will take, but didn't matter. He kept on reading the word of God, and people stood there, not only standing, they are doing something. Let's read further.
And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground.
See, they were not only standing, they lift up their hands and start praising God and glorifying God. You know, when you lift up your hand, what do you say? I surrender. You know, police comes and says, lift up your hands. Because they don't want putting their hand to the gun. So you lift up your hand means I'm surrendering. I'm yours now. I'm not doing any harm. So when you lift up your hand, say, Lord, here I am. I belong to you. I surrender. I praise God. And then instead of looking up, they start looking down, bowing down and giving respect. So they were respecting God, bowing down and lifting their hands and praising God and glorifying God. If you lift your hand and praise God and walk in your room, you are not going to sleep. Sometimes you decided to sit 1 hour and pray, and as soon as you sit and pray, you got sleepy. What do you do then? Get up, lift up your hand and walk in the room and praise God and glorify God and start singing and praising. You will not be sleeping. And so these people were standing and praising God and glorifying God. Their heart was tuned to God. Let's read verse 7.
Also Jeshua and Bani and Sherebiah, Jamin, Akub, Shabbatai, Hodijah, Maaseiah, Kelita, Azariah, Jozabad, Hanan, Peleiah, and the Levites caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place.
Here people are praising God and glorifying God, but there are other ministers maybe around them or maybe trying to say, did you understand what pastor is saying? This is what he's saying. Or you can say after the church service, when the people, new people come or something like that, you talk to them. How was today's subject? Did you understand what pastor was saying? And if somebody says, I didn't understand, then you try to explain. When you come to church, you listen to the word of God. First thing you say, how was the service? Did you like sermon? What word of God was saying? Encourage one another. And so this is what believers are supposed to do. If anyone comes to church, make them feel good, make them loud, and tell them we are here. Somebody says, why is he preaching Nehemiah? Some people do not know. If you are hungry and thirsty, whatever the chapter, whatever the book is preached, be excited. I want to know more about this. And so here the word of God is saying, all other priests, all other people standing in the congregation, encouraging people, do you understand this? This what Ezra is saying, and trying to build the church of God or the people of God. Okay, verse 8.
So they read in the book in the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. And Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law.
The governor is the one encouraging a people. And there is Ezra, the priest, and scribe, and Levites, and all those people are there, and these people all together reading the law, book of law, and understanding. Verse 10.
Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord, neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength.
Now here the people, when they heard it, they start weeping and crying, and their heart was broken. Sometimes, you know, when the word of God comes to you, some people be joyful, some people will be crying, some people will be weeping, because sometimes God is speaking to their heart and their sins will be revealed. So they start weeping and crying, and Nehemiah saying, this is not the time to cry and weep. This is the happy day. This is the joyful day. You go home, cook a good food. I was thinking, the people are saying, today you should not be eating the fat, you should not be eating the sweet. What he say? Go and eat the fat. Go and eat the sweet, drink the sweet, enjoy, and be happy and joyful. If you live for God, God will protect you. In early age, when I was in India, they said in the winter time, you eat fatty food, because that will give you energy and keep you warm. And your cartilages and all your knees will not be making noises, and you will not have pain. But here they said, don't eat the butter, don't eat the milk. Do you know now they said the 1% milk or something like that they're drinking? And they found out they're putting something else in that. And so they said that's 1% milk is more harmful than the drinking the whole milk. We never bought the 1% milk. I said we want to drink the whole milk. And we are drinking the whole milk. But the point I'm making here, all these people, business people, they are doing something to hurt you, and they are trying to fool you that this is good for you. Do you know the coffee, decaffeinated coffee or decaffeinated tea, people thinking it's good, or decaffeinated soda. But I did the research and I heard it is more harmful to you any D word used is harmful to you and it's killing you, destroying you. If you want to drink a soda, drink the regular soda, even though that has a 12 ounce of sugar, but decaffeinated soda will kill you. It diet soda, take the last word out, what is this?
Die.
So it's killing you. So the point I'm making, God has given us good food. God already said, what is good, what is bad, what should you eat, what should you should not be eating. And that's the way the Jewish people were doing it. And the time of Peter, God says all kinds of unclean and all kinds of animal came. And he says, Peter, kill and eat. He said, Lord, I don't eat this unholy thing you told us in your book. But he says, now I made that holy. Go ahead and eat it. And that's why some Christian people start eating pork and everything. But he was simply saying, unholy heathen, don't call them unholy and heathen because I cleansed them. And so people took a wrong meaning and start eating pork and start eating everything and got more diseases. I didn't know anything about pork. But from my childhood, I did not like the smell of the pork and I never ate it. And even though I got a job as a cook, and these people said, cook this pork. And so I was not even born again. So I cooked the pork, they liked it. But when I start reading the Bible, it says, don't eat this, don't eat that. And my mother says, okay, we buy. I said, Mom, I'm not going to eat this because Bible prohibits these things. So I never ate and I have no desire to eat. There was a Christian, he said, I'm pastor and I'm a butcher. And so I put the meat, pork, the beef, lamb meat, and chicken. And he says, when I see all the meat, I put the same time, but the first thing rottens is the pork. Pork is the first spoils. So the point I'm making, I'm not saying what to eat, what not to eat. Point I'm making, use the common sense. Even though you eat the pork, pray over it. God will give you grace. Here he says, go enjoy. Go and eat the fatty food. Go and eat the sweet drink. And be happy and joyful. Because this day is not for crying and not for weeping. But some food will kill you, destroy you. Do you know the shrimp? Tastes good, right? I used to cook food, cook shrimp and give it to other people. But I found out the shrimp is a garbage collector. They go in the bottom of the sea and collect all the garbage, the crab and all of these animals, and catfish and those things. So I said, why am I eating garbage? I don't need it. So the point I'm making, sometimes they taste good, but they bring diseases. So stay away from it. But butter, eat butter. It will not harm you. Egg, they say don't eat the egg. And now there was a one man, 600 pound or 400 pound. His diet was egg. He just kept on eating egg and he lost so many pounds. So the doctor said, hey, overall the egg is not bad. So eat the egg. So point I'm making, eat everything, but everything in what?
Moderation.
That will be fine. Don't try to eat, even though if you say water is good and you keep on drinking water, you can die just drinking water. So everything you drink in moderate. Okay, verse 11.
So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, hold your peace, for the day is holy, neither be ye grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them.
The priest also came to everybody and said, hey, don't cry, don't grieve, be happy, go and eat and enjoy your food. And he says, people who are rich, they have food. They said, give it to other people. That's why we learn in the Christmas, Thanksgiving, give food to others. And so they did it. They said, we are going to eat. Not only that, we are going to give it to other people. Word of God says, when you invite people, you invite the people who will not able to invite you back. Some people say, I'm going to invite my boss, invite my people at the work and things like that, give them a better gift. And the rich people, you want to make happy to rich people. If you give a small gift, they are not happy. So you have to give a bigger gift. I say to people, why do you do that? Don't give it to your bosses and don't give it to anybody. Find some poor person. Find somebody, Bible says, blind and lame and people, nobody invites them. Go and give it to them. So here these people are giving an example. Not only eating good food, giving others. Some people in India, what they do, they give the spoiled food to the beggars. When the beggar comes, they will give the yesterday's food. Bible says, give good food. Other day, I might have told you, there was a one boy standing there, and I'm eating, my mommy gave me food, and he's looking at my food and looking. I said, hey, did you eat anything? He said, no, I'm hungry. I said, okay, here is the food. I gave my food. Mommy said, that was only one food I had. I said, mommy, I'm not going to die if I don't eat today. And I gave it to him food. And the God was testing. I already was fasting whole day. Mommy gave me lunch. I gave it to one beggar. And I came home hungry to eat. Here I gave to my food to somebody else. And so I am so hungry. But I said, Lord, you have to give me grace. But God opened the new door. I already told you. One rich lady used to work with me. She said, I talked to my mother. And I said, send two tiffins. One for me and one for the person working with me. God gave me a rich man's food. I gave the poor man's food to somebody. So God supplies our need. He said, you eating good food and somebody doesn't have it, give it to others. Okay, verse 13.
And on the second day were gathered together the chief of the fathers of all the people, the priests and the Levites, unto Ezra the scribe, even to understand the words of the law. And they found written in the law which the Lord had commanded by Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month, and that they should publish and proclaim in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, go forth unto the mount and fetch olive branches, and pine branches, and myrtle branches, and palm branches, and branches of thick trees, to make booths as it is written.
Okay, now what these people did, they start reading the book of law, and all of a sudden, something came to their mind that God says that when you, in the seventh month, what you do, you live in booths. And somebody says, why they have to live in booths? But now they have their houses built, the walls are built and everything. God was telling them, don't be so comfortable. We are pilgrims. We are traveling. That's why God gave them the tabernacle, and God says, I will be in the tabernacle. So they moved from one place to another place and pitched the tabernacle and pitched their, what you call, the houses. And that's the way they were traveling almost 40 years. So God was trying to tell these people, you are not going to satisfy with the good houses. I want to remind you, you were traveling 40 years and you lived in booths. So remember, don't forget that. And so he told them how to do it. He said, go to the mountains, go to the, get the trees, all the leafy trees, and bring and make a tents for you. And remember that you were living in tents. Today, we have beautiful houses. And we are not satisfied. If you're living in the row house, I need a twin house. You live in twin house, I want a single house. You're living in single house, I need a mansion. And people are not satisfied. They want something bigger and better. But at the same time, one day will come and what? We leave everything here and go with the empty-handed. That's the way our life is. So God is trying to teach us. He said, think about it. Your life on this earth is not permanent. You are going to give up everything and go. So this is a reminder that our life is short, and we don't have to spend money on building golden buildings. You go and see the movie stars, their faucets are gold, their cars, the steering wheel is gold, And all these things, they have it. So millions and billions of dollars, they have it. So the, what devil does, I'm going to give you this marijuana. I'm going to give this drug. I'm going to give this all these things. And they are possessed with all these things. They cannot enjoy what they have, and they kill themselves, and many, many are dead. Nobody's learning anything. I think all these movie stars and singers, they don't learn that other people died with these things, and they keep on doing the same thing because they think, oh, rich people has to do this. Poor people cannot afford. So even they say bad, they do it. And some people say, I'm macho, nothing is going to happen to me. And they do these things, and they kill themselves. Millions and billions of dollars are wasted every day. And some of the people do not have any relatives. So what happens? They die, their money goes to somebody else. Other day where I heard one person gave $4 billion, not million, billion dollars to one charity. I was thinking, well, if you give to the right charity, they will do the right job. In India, I used to bring people to my church, and I was not married, and let them live in the church and feed them and give them a place to live. And so many bad things happened to me. Some people will come and steal something and go. But the point I'm making, I try to bring people home and give them shelter and give them food. In America, one more person came and he said, you know, I'm a Christian and he has a broken leg. So I said, what do you want? He said, I want to talk to Cardone. And so I need a couple of days to stay in your house because I cannot afford to stay in the hotel. And they said, couple of days within it, they will give me a job. So I said, okay, stay in my house. I gave him a room and gave him food and everything. 2 days passed, 3 days passed, week passed, he's not going. I said, sir, I can take you to that place and see what happened. Why are you not getting a job? I said, don't try to lie to me. I'm a man of God, okay? If you want, I can take you to the hotel and stay there because I'm a family man. You cannot stay in my house. So after that, I learned not to bring anybody when you're a family man. When I was alone, I could handle, but thank God it was a broken leg, man. And the people can be broken leg and they can be dangerous. But I'm just saying, we have to learn. I'm learning from my mistake. So here the word of God is saying, now you're going to live in booth. And this, when these people start doing, and I said, where they were living? Some people were going in the out. Top of their house and building the booth, and some people on the yard here and there, and they found the place and they're having booths, and they said they're having good time. Let's read it. Verse 16.
So the people went forth and brought them and made themselves booths, every one upon the roof of his house and in their courts and in the courts of the house of God and in the street of the water gate and in the street of the gate of Ephraim.
See, on the street, on the rooftop, and everywhere where they found a room, and they start doing it. And they said they found it, this scripture, that they should make a booth and a book of law. If you are thinking where they found it, go to the Leviticus chapter 23 and start reading from 33 to 44. But we will read only two verses. Read 42 and 43.
Ye shall dwell in booths 7 days. All that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God.
See, when they were reading this, I brought you out of Egypt, and you traveled 40 years, and you lived in booths. So don't forget that I have bought you and protected you, and all in the wilderness. You were living in booths, so remember that. And that's why they said, now you have to practice this once a year at least. But they did not do it once a year. 40 years they traveled, they could not. They have their booths. But when Joshua got the peace in the land, they said, from the time of Joshua until today, nobody lived in booths. And so let's read verse 17. Go back to the Nehemiah.
And all the congregation of them that were come again out of the captivity made booths and sat under the booths. For since the days of Jeshua the son of Nun unto that day had not the children of Israel done so, and there was very great gladness.
Now see, he says, the time of Joshua, they did it. After that, nobody did it. So he said, this is after a long, long time, they lived in booths, and they were happy, they were joyful, even they had houses, but now they have to live like a homeless people and show everybody, I'm just like you. Even though I have a house, I'm living in booth, I'm just like you. Now these booths and these tabernacles, it's a reminder to us. Peter says, I'm going to leave this tabernacle and go to heaven. So we are living in this tabernacle. These are the booths. One day we are going to go. If you read John chapter 1 verse 14.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
Now he says he dwelt among us. He says in another word, he says he tabernacled in us. So that this body is a tabernacle. Jesus came and dwelt in this body for us. So Jesus Christ came to live with us, and he showed an example. When I was thinking, when Jesus Christ say, he says, Son of Man doesn't have even room to put his head on the pillow. And somebody said, oh, but he was sleeping in one boat and he was sleeping in the pillow. Point I'm making, that Jesus Christ saying the foxes has the hole, the birds have the nest, but Son of Man has not room to lay down his head. That means he didn't have the house. He was always traveling. And so our life is a journey. We are traveling in this world. We did not bring anything. Out of this world, we cannot take anything. So we should be living like a one day at a time. Our life in this world has no guarantee. No doctor, nobody can tell you, I guarantee you that you're going to live for 100 years. Or you're going to pass this surgery and you're not going to die in this surgery. No doctor. Even though if you want to pull the toenail, they will tell you if you die with pulling the toenail, you are not responsible. Simple thing. But they don't want to take the responsibility. But our God is saying, in this world, we didn't bring anything. Out of this world, we cannot take anything. So what we doing? We are living for God. We are living for Jesus. We are living for the people who do not know God. Do the more things for the Lord, because Jesus Christ is coming soon. There are churches. They have millions and billions of dollars in their account. We don't want to owe anybody anything. Once the mortgage is paid, I'm not going to borrow any money to build another building. I will never borrow any money from any bank. And I will live one day at a time. If I have to build another building or another second floor or something, God has to give me cash. Otherwise, we are not going to do it. We are living in this world. We have no guarantee when you're going to die. So live in this world like this is your last day. So what are you going to do? You do something for God. That's what you have to do. I'm going to give my life to God because tomorrow never comes. If you promise somebody tomorrow, how many people promised tomorrow and they died and they could not fulfill what they want to do? So the tomorrow doesn't come. Tomorrow will be always tomorrow. So do whatever you can today. Our life is a pilgrim. We are living in a booth. Even though you have a mansion, it's just a booth. So there is no guarantee. People making houses and spending all this money, and one day comes and vanish everything away and go to the zero back again. But in our language, there is a saying, Sir Salamat to Pagdi Pachas. That means if you're alive, you can buy many hats. Don't worry if you lose one hat. As long as you have a head and you are alive, you can buy many hats. So point I'm making, if you got a car accident or some dangerous sickness or something, and you are still alive, you say, thank you, Lord. As long as I'm alive, I can get anything I want. I'm not going to worry what I lost. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Thank you, Lord, for giving us grace to study the Word of God. How these people love the Lord, standing, listening, bowing down, and praying, understanding the Word, trying to feed other people, trying to enjoy the blessings of God. Give us grace to take an example, to think about others. People are dying without God and without Christ. You have given us everything what we need. Give us grace to reach out and tell somebody about Jesus Christ. We commit ourselves into your loving hands. Be with us and sanctify us and use us more and more for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Please be seated.